Good afternoon. Thank you for joining me today for today's webinar, Soft Signs of a Compromised Immune System. These are increasingly being seen these days. You really need to pay attention to them, as they are typically seen as precursors to autism, PDD, NOS, SPD, which is sensory processing disorder, OCD, ADHD and ADD, asthma, allergies, eczema, depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, multiple sclerosis, IBS, Crohn's disease, celiac, and other autoimmune diseases. Since we have a limited amount of time together today, I'm going to give you everything I can in the time that we have. From experience, I can tell you that there will be some topics that you will likely want to dive deeper into, and we just won't have time. So along the way, I'll show you how you can get more on that subject through one of the resources I offer. And then later today, I'll show you how you can get some amazing deals on my services if you feel inspired and want more. I know what it's like for you and your children to have health problems. In fact, I've been there myself, as I've struggled with insomnia, severe fatigue, female problems like uterine fibroids and ovarian cysts, constant sickness. I had shingles twice, and all this while trying to deal with my boys' developmental delays, sensory processing disorder, asthma, allergies, eczema, acid reflux, and failure to thrive. It's really draining. So I began reading everything I could get my hands on, trying to figure out why all this was happening to us and what we could do about it. I joined Epidemic Answers, which is a nonprofit. We give out information to parents of children who have autism, ADHD, allergies, asthma, autoimmune diseases, all these diseases and conditions that I mentioned above. And we give out information to parents and let them know that recovery is possible. So I joined Epidemic Answers, first as a blogger and a social media director, and I was later asked to join the board of directors. I've also received training from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition to become a certified holistic health counselor. Fortunately, my research skills paid off when I began to understand how to create health, and my sons and I are so much healthier these days. It is possible to recover your health, and my family and my clients are proof of this. I'm talking about correcting gut dysbiosis and nutritional deficiencies while removing toxicities. It really can be as simple as that. This webinar is for you if you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, like I was. If you have a chronic health condition such as lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, IBS, Crohn's, celiac, or other autoimmune disease, autism, ADHD, allergies, asthma, eczema, colic, depression, diabetes, OCD, SPD, or any of the other conditions that I mentioned beforehand. It's also for you if you want to avoid pharmaceuticals and if you're frustrated about the lack of results from the healthcare system. It's for you if you want more specific advice than just eat a balanced diet. There's really more to it than that. So in today's webinar, I'm going to tell you about you or your child's immune system's red flags. Hopefully, I will begin to open your eyes to what is really needed to create health. And I think my answers will surprise you. We're going to cover the drivers of these conditions, which are toxicity and gut dysbiosis, in depth. And then I'll tell you about some things that you can do immediately to get you and your children on the road to recovery. I'm going to give you all that I can in the time that we have together, and I promise to show you how to take it further. So let's get down to these soft signs. What are they? Let me flip to the next slide. So the first slide shows you some of the beginning ones, and most of these that I'm going to show you today are for children that you're going to notice, but you'll see some of these in adults too. So one of the soft signs is one or two red cheeks after eating, red or hot ears after eating, chronic runny nose or cough, chronic mouth breathing, problems with swallowing, habitual gagging or choking while eating, storing food in the cheeks, recurrent ear infections, chronic or recurrent sinus infections, chronic or recurrent strep infections, periodic fever syndrome, patches of red, dry, scaly skin, also known as eczema, on the face, the hands, the elbow, knees, or other parts of the skin, frequent diaper rashes in babies, especially red rings around the anus or redness of the vaginal area, cradle cap, but you probably didn't know that this was a soft sign to a compromised immune system. You can also have excessive scaling and dandruff on the scalp, thinning hair or hair loss in a child, cavities and excessive tartar or bad breath despite proper dental hygiene, frequent daytime accidents in an already potty-trained child, nighttime bedwetting well into the grade school years. Some more signs that we see are nocturia, which is frequent waking to go to the bathroom, dark circles or bags surrounding the eyes, these are called allergic shiners, and also droopy eyes. Excessive drooling in children too old to drool, colic, excessive crying or irritability in babies, frequent temper tantrums multiple times a day, frequent crying, sadness or anger multiple times a day, esophageal reflux, babies who chronically spit up or regurgitate after eating, a white coating on the tongue. Another one is chronic thrush infections. We also see unusual fingernail or toenail formation, frequent loose stools or diarrhea. Undigested food found routinely in the stools, blood in the stool, constipation, infrequent stooling, only going once every few days, or straining with a bowel movement. So you'll see that some of these that I'm talking about now, these can also apply to adults. Excessive gas or flatulence. Chronically discolored stools, colors like white, yellow, or black. Floating stools or dry stools, what's known as rabbit pellets. Tummy aches, distended pot belly. I can't tell you how many kids I see running around with pot bellies, and they're only 3 and 4 years old. Persistent toe walking, always walking on the tiptoes. Delays in crawling, walking, or talking. Significant speech impairments. Large motor delays, difficulties completing age-appropriate physical tasks, such as jumping or climbing. Sideways glancing, looking out of the sides of the eyes instead of making direct eye contact. Sensory-seeking behaviors, always looking to crash into people and objects. Can also have sensory defensiveness, and this is what happened with my children. Covering the ears from everyday sounds like vacuum cleaners or telephone rings, shielding the eyes from bright lights, sensitivity or revulsion to common smells, avoidance of certain textures like sand, wetness, or certain fabrics, an oversensitivity or emotional reaction to tags and clothing, seams and socks or hair brushing, avoidance of kisses, hugs, or other forms of affection. You can also see pressure-seeking behavior, trying to push the belly against objects, the floor or tables. You see this a lot in a lot of autistic children because they can't really verbalize what's happening to them in their stomachs, and their intestines really hurt. Head banging, tongue hanging out of the mouth, failure to thrive and growth delays. I'm still dealing with this with my own children. Arm flapping, low muscle tone. Extreme or abnormal fatigue and difficulty waking. Excessive sweating, night or daytime, or inability to regulate temperature. Excessive hyperactivity, chronically swollen lymph nodes, obsessive or compulsive type behaviors, constantly hoarding of toys or possessions, lining up toys or other repetitive behaviors. Persistent aggressive behavior, persistent noncompliant or oppositional behavior, tics, verbal or physical, including constant throat clearing, coughing or blinking, recurrent urinary tract infections, chronic vaginal infections, chronic athlete's foot, ringworm, or other fungal skin infections. So this is a pretty big list of red flags that we see for a compromised immune system. And these red flags are often seen in children before they develop autism, ADHD, PDD, NOS, SPD, OCD, allergies, asthma, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, depression, anxiety, or autoimmune disorders like celiac, IBS, or Crohn's. They're also often seen in adults before they develop autoimmune diseases such as celiac, IBS, colitis, Crohn's, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, fibromyalgia, and other autoimmune disorders. Most people with a chronic illness or disorder like autism, ADHD, asthma, allergies, celiac, etc., or chronic symptoms like eczema, allergies, reflux, etc., have what's known as gut dysbiosis and or immune dysregulation. And so just to give you a rundown of the statistics that we're seeing in children these days, and this is fairly recent numbers. The numbers for autism are as of this year, that 1 in 88 children have autism. That's 1 in 54 boys. And if you live in New Jersey, that's 1 in 29 boys. 1 in 8 children have asthma. 1 in 10 children have ADHD. 1 in 80 children have celiac disease. 1 in 5 children have allergic eczema. 1 in 12 children under 4 have true food allergies. Many more have food sensitivities and or reactions. 1 in 2 to 3 children have hay fever or environmental allergies. We also see other illnesses increasing. Acid reflux, especially in babies, eosinophilic esophagitis, sensory processing or integration disorder, behavioral or mood disorders like bipolar disorder, depression and anxiety, as well as OCD, thyroid conditions, diabetes, and inflammatory bowel disease. So just because your child does not have a diagnosis doesn't mean that he or she is not affected, because even healthy children are being affected these days. So what does it mean if your child has these red flags such as eczema, chronic infection, or acid reflux? It means that there's something wrong with your immune system and therefore the gastrointestinal system. Hippocrates, who's the father of medicine, said disease begins in the gut. So if you see any of these signs, it means that there's gut dysbiosis, which is an imbalance of good versus bad bacteria, yeast, and pathogens in the intestine. Gut dysbiosis is often associated with an improperly functioning gastrointestinal system. And why is this so important? The gut is extremely important to health because 70 to 80% of the immune system is in your gut. 90% of the pathogens enter our body through the gut. They actually enter through the mouth or possibly through the nose and then come down to through the GI tract. And then 95% of serotonin is actually made in the gut. So if your gut isn't healthy, then your brain isn't healthy. Other neurotransmitters are made there as well. So gut dysbiosis leads to immune dysregulation, and from there, a vicious cycle is created, leading to further infection and autoimmunity. You might start off with a chronic case of candidiasis and end up with Lyme disease, for example. Lyme disease, by the way, can often mask itself as other conditions, such as autism or multiple sclerosis. Immune dysregulation occurs when the body attacks and creates inflammation in response to normally harmless or innocuous things like mold or pollen or cat dander. It also occurs when the body attacks its own cells, or what's known as autoimmunity. When immune dysregulation occurs, the body's immune system can't turn itself off, or in some cases it can't mount a sufficient immune response, what's known as an underactive immune activity. Some of the causes of gut dysbiosis and thus immune dysregulation are Candida albicans, which is a yeast, and that's probably the most common one that's seen. Doesn't mean that you can't have other co-infections along with that, and that actually is what happens a lot of times. Sometimes people have a systemic yeast infection, the dysbiosis is there, their immune system is off, and then they get bitten by a tick, then they get Lyme disease. And then from that, they develop multiple sclerosis or fibromyalgia, so it's a downward cycle from here. Some other causes are Giardia lamblia, which is a parasite, Clostridium, which is a bacteria, Streptococcus, which is also a bacteria, and you often see this in especially in autistic kids, that they'll have like hidden infections of Clostridium or Strep. Klebsiella, which is a bacteria, and spirochetes, which are Lyme diseases and its co-infections, Bartonella, Babesian, or Ehrlichia. Those are all spirochetes, and they act like little screws, and they're very hard to be detected by the body's immune system because they sort of burrow into your system and they can't be found. So other causes of gut dysbiosis are HHV, the virus, Epstein-Barr, which is a virus, varicella, it's the chickenpox virus, but it can also be responsible for shingles, and mouth sores, things like that. Rubella, which is a virus, an overuse of antibiotics, overuse of ibuprofen, Motrin, naproxen, use of oral hormones like the pill. Did you know that here's the pill that you took or take can cause gut dysbiosis? There's a good chance you probably didn't know that. GMO foods can cause gut dysbiosis, and this is a very important subject right now because a lot of states, I believe there are 19 different states that actually have some form of initiative on ballots to label GMO foods because of the health concerns that are associated with them. All of these conditions that we've talked about have been linked to GMO foods, and that's because what they do is they actually puncture holes into the intestine and cause what's called leaky gut. And then some types of them, especially I believe it's corn, there's a type called BT corn, and it is loaded with an insecticide that's actually engineered into the corn itself. So the premise is that Monsanto can sell GMO corn, and it's got the insecticide already in it, and then they can spray it very heavily with glyphosate, which is Roundup, and so it's called Roundup Ready Corn. And if any bug or pest eats the corn, the pesticide will explode into their gut and kill them. Well, that's what's happening to us because we're eating much larger quantities of this than a bug would. A diet high in processed foods can also cause gut dysbiosis. Feedlot meats, because they use antibiotics to keep these caged animals who are very stressed out from being so caged and penned and not living a very natural life at all. They get sick a lot, so they are fed antibiotics. You eat the antibiotics, antibiotics go into you. Infections can be passed on by mom from a vaginal birth, or if it's cesarean, if the baby is delivered through cesarean, then the baby has no natural immunity. A lack of probiotic bacteria from a cesarean birth, like I was talking about, can cause this, as well as proton pump inhibitors, because you need stomach acid to kill all those pathogens that are coming in. Remember, I said 90% of those pathogens are coming in through your mouth and through your digestive tract, and the stomach is one of the main means that we have to actually kill those pathogens. And so if you don't have enough stomach acid, you're going to get sick a lot. Stress can also cause a lot of gut dysbiosis. So now that you know all this, what do you do about it? How do you begin to heal? I'm going to show you how to begin healing and recovering, but first let me tell you the story of myself and my sons. I'm a stay-at-home mom these days, and a few years ago, there were months on end when my children and I would get sick for weeks at a time, only to turn around and get sick all over again. I felt like we were barely treading water, and it was all I could do to put food on the table. I had no idea why we were all so sick. My sons had sensory processing disorder, asthma, allergies, acid reflux, eczema, and failure to thrive, as well as developmental delays and hypotonia. I had constant sickness as well as horrible fatigue. I'd have to take 2 or 3 hours a nap a day, and it still wasn't helping. I had insomnia, irritability, chronic sinus infections, uterine fibroids, and ovarian cysts. Our previous pediatricians, gastroenterologist, and my gynecologist were either condescending or of no help. pharmaceuticals like Prevacid, Zoloft, and Ambien only masked the symptoms and didn't address the underlying problems. I didn't know where to turn for help, and we were all getting sicker, more tired, and more irritable all the time. Eventually, I began working with other types of doctors, our naturopaths, functional medicine doctors, including a functional medicine gynecologist, and you may have seen me blog about these kinds of doctors in my blogs, holistic nutritionists, and our own chiropractor. I discovered how to understand the body's immune system and everything that affects it, from the adrenals to the thyroid to inflammation and autoimmunity to food allergies and the quality and sources of different types of foods. One of the first and best things to do in order to heal is to use minerals to boost the function of adrenals and thyroid. And you may be thinking, what do adrenals and thyroid glands have to do with recovering your health? And the answer is a lot, because most Americans are very deficient in minerals like magnesium, zinc, iodine, and selenium. They don't eat foods high in them like animal organs, seaweed, and green vegetables. Minerals are the food that our adrenals and our thyroid need to function, and without them, we don't handle stress very well, and we get sick a lot. In addition, there are loads of endocrine disruptors in our lives these days that upset the function of our thyroid, which controls enzymatic and hormonal processes in our bodies. Examples of common endocrine disruptors are phthalates, plasticizers, triclosan, antibacterial soap, Teflon, flame retardants, brominated additives like those in commercial flour products, pesticides and Mountain Dew, as well as fluoride and chlorine in our water supply. If you met my sons today, and now they're 5 and 7 years old, you would see they no longer have sensory processing disorder, acid reflux, asthma, allergies, or eczema. They rarely get sick. If you were to know me now, you'd see that I'm no longer fatigued, I no longer have insomnia, I no longer need 2 to 3 hour naps, and I no longer get sick. And we're not using pharmaceuticals to be this way either. In addition, I'm helping my clients make these same kinds of recoveries. Now, I want to show you how to take this amazing information and turn it into lasting transformation in your life. If you or your child has any of these red flags or soft symptoms, you have to know it's not going to get better if you're eating the same foods and taking the same medicines. In fact, in many cases, it will likely get worse. A baby with colic is likely to end up with developmental delays, and a child with developmental delays is an excellent candidate for autism, TDD, NOS, sensory processing disorder, ADHD, etc. I've given you as much as I can in the time that we have, as promised, but I don't have enough time to cover all the steps necessary for recovery. So I've developed a Recover Your Health program for people wanting to do the fundamental work of recovering the health of themselves or their children. It's a 5-part program teleseminar series with a bonus session in the end. There will be one 90-minute session per week with room for Q&A, and the sessions begin Thursday, October 30th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time and run until Thursday, October 4th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. In this 5-part program, I'll make specific recommendations for types of food and supplements, food selection criteria, how to cook your food, and where to get your healing foods and supplements, as well as give you recipes and handouts that you can use and study over and over again when we're offline. I'll walk you through these fundamentals as we go through them step by step. This 5-part program plus the one bonus session is $497 for those paying in full upfront, or $129 per month for those that would like to pay over a period of 4 months. And the first 18 people to register are also going to get a 30-minute one-on-one coaching session with me. If you'd like to sign up, go to www.mariarickerthong.com/recover for more information. Thank you for your time, and I hope to see you in the program on August 30th. And now I've got a few minutes left for questions. For those dialing in by phone, please press star 2 to ask a question. If you've connected with your computer, just type your question into the chat box. I'll give it a few minutes to load and see if anybody would like to ask a question. Anybody out there with a question? Hi, we've got somebody in Joliet, Illinois. Would you like to ask a question?
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, I'm actually going to see a naturopathic doctor on Thursday, and I know
okay.
you mentioned also seeing a functional medicine doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finally giving up all, like, medical doctors because I'm just sick of them. But so do you recommend seeing a naturopath and, a functional or integrative medicine doctor, together, or I don't have any. I mean, I'm going to a naturopath for my own digestive
mm-hmm.
issues, but I don't know exactly what it is, so I'm going for that. But I don't know, if I should be going to other doctors as well in the future, or how that works as a team and whatever, how that all works.
Okay. There's a lot of background noise. I'm not sure if you know that for your phone.
Oh, sorry.
Are you
I'll
outside?
Try to get off
maybe?
No, I'm on my speaker. Hold on one second.
Oh, okay. Yeah, much better.
Better now. Okay.
Yeah,
I have
much better.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you want me to repeat
you were asking?
It
no, you were asking whether you should see a naturopath or a functional medicine doctor or both. Is that your question?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely seeing the naturopathic doctor. But
okay.
I wanted to know whether I should see both. You had mentioned a functional gynecologist as well. I guess I've never
mm-hmm.
heard of that specific kind of doctor, but that would probably be something that I would need in the future. So how do you integrate all of them? Or should you? Do you always have to? Or if you're done going the standard doctor route?
Right. Well, what I do is I see both. I see a naturopath and a functional medicine gynecologist. And there is a lot of overlap between them. They both have access to what are called functional medicine tests.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the naturopath has a little more expertise in detoxing and doing lymphatic drainage and more herbal experience as well as homeopathy that he does.
Mm-hmm.
The gynecologist has a little more experience with the thyroid and the adrenals and looking at things like methylation. There is overlap between the two of them. They both
okay.
prescribe similar supplements. They both work with vitamins and minerals and herbal supplements. And, I find it's good to have both just that way
okay.
because I can become an advocate for myself. And I love having the copies of the tests that the functional medicine doctor gives to me
uh-huh.
because
yeah.
and the naturopath does as well, just so I can sort of keep up on my health and see where I'm supposed to be and do my own research and find out what kind of questions I should be coming up with.
Right.
Does that make sense? Or
Yeah. No, that does. It makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, you're welcome. Does anyone else have any questions? Let me check on the computer side and see if anyone has any questions there. Let's see. Gail from Myrtle Beach in South Carolina wants to know, does Epidemic Answers have any chapters in the Southeast? And the answer to that is that we are virtual. We're a virtual organization. We don't have, big walk-a-thons or anything like that. But we are online. The best place to find out about us is www.epidemicanswers.org, and you can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. And I'm the social media director for their Facebook site and also for Twitter. So I really encourage you to go check us out there because we post a lot of great information there. 5 or 6 times a day that just sort of let you know, these things are in the food supply or these are toxins that you're being exposed to. Last night I posted one about how there's lead in a lot of people's water, and they don't really know about it, and that's because there are pipes. There are old lead pipes that are still haven't been turned changed out, and so when they actually do get changed out, there's like this big, huge release of lead into the water, and so the water may be clean when it leaves the water filtration plant, but by the time it gets to your house, it could be full of lead. So just things like that for you to be aware of. Does anyone else have any questions? Let me refresh one more time and I'll see if anybody else has a question. I know that sometimes it takes a few minutes, or not a few minutes, but there's a lag. Okay, it looks like nobody has any more questions. So again, if you would like to find out more about this, just go to my website, www.mariarickerthong.com/recover. Thank you, and I will talk to you later. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.